Okay, let's begin. We are up to Halacha Yud. Okay, I want to finish the Halachas, then we're going to go over the Shiurim and the Halacha, and then if we have time, I have a few, we'll go over some other interesting ideas from the Seif, the Or of Shabbos, what he says about Tfilas Kalim. Okay, so let's begin with Halacha Yud. Halacha Yud, Simin Lamed Zayin, Halacha Yud, it's on the last page, Reish Yud Aleph of this handout. Before you do tefillah, it's pashtun, you have to make sure it's perfectly clean. Not so pashtun, they go into the store, they go to Happy Home and you buy it, something, and they have a little mikvah. So they're always busy there with... The mikvah is filthy. They're always busy with gugon. You know what gugon is? Gugon, it's a certain type of, takes off the stickers. You have to remove all of the stickers, all of the labels and stickers and price tags, so that there's no chatzitza. They have the chatzitza and the rust as well, of course. And rust, the below, shalom yalav shum lichluch, oi chaluda, rust. Ah, however, he says in the parentheses, roshim chaluda, shacharudis, be'olmok, shadako, lukach, rein makpidin olav, einoi mazik. If it's something which is normal, natural,
like silver, it becomes rusty.
So that, and you're not makpid on it, that is not chatzitza, that's not a problem. But shrichim litbol kolakli, bepam achashi, hey, kulub mailu, we learned yesterday that it's not like kashering. When you kasher something, you don't have to kasher it in one shot. You can kasher this part of the spoon, and then you turn it around and you dip into the hot water the other part of the spoon, because kashering is scientific. It's to purge the tarfus that's in the metal. So you can do it parts at a time. But tefillah b'mikvah is spiritual. We do not know how this works. The rules are you have to be completely immersed in one shot. You can't go to the mikvah. Everyone knows I'll be toiling my arm now, this arm, this leg, that leg, and sach hakol, my whole body went into the mikvah. Doesn't work like that. When it comes to kelim, the same rule applies. You have to be toiled the entire thing in one shot. When you have electrical appliances, then that's the only exception. You have electrical appliances, and you don't want to dip in water the computer component, the computer part of the appliance, in complex kelim, which might require tefillah. So then, of course, then you have no choice. That's the best you can do, and that's sufficient. But generally, you have to be told the entire thing. V'chli sheyesh lo yad, a kli which has a handle, tzarech liyos im hayad v'pamachas kul v'mayim. It has to be in one shot. V'odam ha-toivel v'ochez ha-kli b'yod tzarech litvel mitchil liyod b'mokim shu toivel. Before you put in the water, you have to dip your hand in the water to get your hand wet. Because if you're going to touch, if you're going to the different ways to be toivel, if you're going to be toivel by actually holding it in the water, you may hold it so tight that the part that you're holding on to will not get wet. Therefore, you should wet your hand before you hold on to the kli, so that wetness will automatically be considered part of the mikvah water. So, and you wet your hand is touching the mikvah water, and then you hold on to the kli, so the kli is entirely submerged in the wetness of the mikvah, and then there is no part of the kli that is dry because it's being pressed hard against your flesh. When you put in the mikvah, if you're holding on to the utensil, do not hold it too tight, hold it loosely. Let's say like today you go to these store mikvahs, they're filthy dirty, so you don't want to put your hand in that water. If you go to a regular mikvah, kosher, like a mikvah, a men's mikvah, or you go to a regular mikvah, then no big deal, you take it in with you. But if you go to the mikvahs in the store, they're not exactly very clean, you don't want to touch it. So you put it into a basket. So then you have to just make sure that when it goes in the basket, you shake it up a little bit, that the water touches.
Glass into a men's mikvah.
What, right, that you shouldn't do, right. And most of the men mikvahs, they have a certain section on the floor, it's where there's a cover, and you open up the cover, and it's for kelim.
You have to do it yourself. In some stores, to the back of the store, they send one of the workers to do it. Mamash, you have to do it?
You have to make a shliach. You have to make them, you don't have to mamash. It has to be Jewish. The one who does it must be Jewish. The one that does it must be Jewish. And do you have to do it yourself? I don't think so. I do not believe so. Anyone can do it. Anyone, you own the kli, has to have tefillah. Anyone can do it. Whoever does it makes a bracha. You don't have to make me a shliach. I don't believe so. But it should be a Jew. It should not be a goy. if a guy does it, it's no good. If a child does it, also it's no good. Maybe we'll come across it. You go and you tell them to a rope and a be'er. It should be loose. If you tell them to a kelim which have a very small spout, a small opening, be very careful that you fill the entire thing with water. That there should be enough water. The entire thing will be filled up with water. Outside. However, if there's a gadol omeid al gabav, an adult watching them, then it's kosher. But if you send a child to the mikvah to be told the kelim for you, that is no good. Unless you tell someone, when you get there, I want you to make sure that you instruct. Many parents say they don't have time for this. The mother sends the kid to the mikvah to be toivel. So the mother has to tell the child, when you get there, you make sure that an adult watches you.
What age?
What age? Any age.
An adult?
So even a 12-year-old?
Even a 12-year-old, you have to be an adult. But no, cotton is not neman. Cotton is not neman. You have to be an adult. And if the mother sends a child to the mikvah to be toivel, you have to tell the child that you make sure that there's an adult that watches. And
so the girl, how old's the girl?
12 years old. A girl, 12.
So she's 12.
12 and a boy, 13.
Okay.
You're not allowed to be told the kli on Shabbos and Yom Tov. If you forget to do so, what is the solution? Shabbos, you're going to be embarrassed. Guess I come, you have no kelim, what should you do? So the solution is, you give it to a goy as a gift, and then you borrow it from him. So we learned yesterday that if you borrow or rent kelim from a goy, you do not need to be toivel. So on Shabbos, you're going to give it to the goy as a gift. You're going to borrow it back from him. You're using his kelim. Therefore, Yasov Yishlen, many borrow from him.
Does he have to take possession, or just verbally give it to the guy?
You really shouldn't make a kinyan. What are the parameters of making kinyan on Shabbos? I don't know the answer. Maybe we'll see in a moment. So the guy, you have to give it to him. You're not really supposed to make kinyanim on Shabbos.
But you're not making a kinyan. The guy's making a
kinyan. There are two partners. There are two partners in the kinyan. There's the noisin and the makabel. Each one is equally guilty. So maybe it could be that you're allowed. No. That's the way. No. Each one is no. It's not shtaim shasu. A kinyan. It's derech mechel. It's not a midraisa. It's not a midraisa. Making kinyanim on Shabbos are also midrabban because of motzei chefsecha. It's not Shabbostic. It's business like. You don't do things that relate to business Shabbos. However, l'tzorach mitzvah, l'dvar mitzvah, you are allowed to make kinyanim on Shabbos. So l'choira, since you need the food here, the kelim for tzorach mitzvah, for Yisud the Shabbos, covered Shabbos, this the exception. You can make a kinyan. I guess you have the goy. The goy is kohen. The goy actually picks it up. It's not so simple because
you're not going to cook on Shabbos.
You're going to use it on your dining room table.
Silverware
or glass cups or all different things. So this is what you should do. You should give it to him. The imhu kli. You should give it to him as matana. It's not so clear. Okay, I guess he has to pick it up. L'chori, you tell him I want to give you as a gift, and the guy picks it up. Or maybe what you do is you give it like the acher. In other words, you say one, you tell another Jew, I want you to be the agent of the guy. You're going to pick it up on behalf of the guy. You just can't say, I'm giving it to a guy as a gift. That doesn't work. If you go and make a step, I'm giving it to a guy as a gift, it's not called the guy until the guy actually acquires it. So l'chor, what you have to do is you have to say, I want to give it to as a gift to the guy, to so-and-so, and you, my friend, Reuven, are going to pick it up off the table, and by you picking it off the table, you're acquiring it on behalf of the non-Jew. It will now become his property. And now we're going to knock on his door, and we're going to tell him what we did, we gave it to him, and we're going to borrow it from him. We're going to ask him a shus, can we please borrow it? Or we know he's such a nice guy, he'll sure lend it to us. I don't know the parameters.
Does he have to make the Jewish? Yeah.
I don't think so. To give it to him, you can zachin. To borrow it, I'm not so sure if that's called a zuchus, to borrow it. Once you give it to him, seemingly the best thing to do is to bring the guy into the house, to give it to him, let him pick it up, make a kinyan, give it to the matan, he picks it up, and now you say, can I please borrow it from you? I need it. What have you accomplished? You're now using kelim that are owned by a non-Jew, and you do not need tzvila. the achsa of Yishuv.
But he'll keep the keli, didn't it?
So you have to tell him in advance have to tell him in advance that I'm only giving it to you because I'm in a lot of trouble. Lechiras chametz. Did you ever sell your chametz to the Rav? So how does this work? You go and give the guy a great deal. The guy owns all the chametz and come into your house. You come into your house and take all the chametz. Okay, he has to pay for it. It's not so simple. The guy has to, he only gives a deposit. He has to pay for it. But the guy always, somehow, the guy every year, you don't hear such stories and the guy doesn't want to give it back. So how does it work? There's an understanding. It's a legal loophole. Legally, the guy owns the kelim. The guy understands that you're giving it to him because you have a need. He all these religious things he doesn't understand very well, but I'll tell you a joke. I remember we had a tree and we had a suffix. If the tree was a fruit tree, it was not a fruit tree, the gardener promised us. He says, I am in the business for 30 years. This is not a fruit tree. There are no fruits, there are no berries. I know this tree is called, he tells all the specs. Okay, but the Balabais, the worst thing I was observing this whole thing take place, he didn't trust the garden. He said, maybe there's some berries. I don't know. You think you're so sure? So they were fighting if it's a fruit tree. But the tree had to be cut down. It wasn't a tree. It was some type of, I don't know, some branch. It had to be cut down. So he said, okay, what we can do is, this whole shaila, are you allowed to cut down a fruit tree? It's you know, it's serious business. So he had to cut it down for whatever reason. I guess because he had a little sukkah, it was in the way. So he said, okay, I'm going to sell it to you. This is a technique that's done in a situation where you have to cut down a tree. So a hiddur in cutting down a fruit tree is, even when you're allowed to, is, first of all, you should not, a Jew should not be the one that cuts down the tree. And number two, you shouldn't be your property. You should sell it to the goy, or give it to him the matana. So the Balabayas, my neighbor, not next to the neighbor, one of my neighbors who's doing this, so he said, okay, I'm giving you this tree as a gift. And we're going to make a kinyan. We're going to make a kinyan. And he looked for a penny. The only thing he can find was his car keys. So he took out his car keys. And I said, by you picking up the car keys, I guess the car key is called a kli. It's not the ideal kli. I guess you can use it. I don't know. Why is it called car keys called a kli? You ever go to a wedding?
And
they give you a car keys to pick up as a kinyan?
A pen.
It's a kli. A handkerchief. Our car keys called a kli. That's what he did.
A key ring, maybe, okay.
So and I guess there was some. So he said, okay, so I want you to pick up the car key, the keys to the car, and by you picking up the keys to the car, you're now going to acquire ownership of this tree. It'll be your tree, so you're going to cut it down, and it's your tree. I'm not responsible for cutting down the fruit tree. So the gardener, was like, you know, he doesn't know he's an Italian, he doesn't know from religion, he doesn't know from all these kunsim and these Orthodox Jews, all their strange customs, none of this makes any sense. So he says, you're giving me the car keys? I'll take the car. I'll just take the car.
You give the tree.
You didn't get it. So the guy, you call the guy into your house. Can you imagine how this is going to go down? You call the guy into your house and say, listen, you know, we want to eat from these plates. We want to use these glasses, the silverware. But, you know, we have to immerse it in a ritual bath. So the solution is, if you were to own these utensils, then we would not have a problem. So what we're going to do is we're going to give it to you as a gift and we're going to borrow it from you. The guy is not going to really appreciate what's going on. There's a famous story about a mikvah. About a mikvah, how do you make a kosher mikvah? So you have to let it rain 40 saws. So unfortunately, there are mikvahs out of town in small communities. Women need to go to the mikvah. Serious business. And sometimes the water, the bar runs dry. There's certain climates where it doesn't rain, and the bar goes dry, and they need to refresh it. And they wait for it to rain, wait it doesn't rain. So what do? So the solution is ice. This is a very common solution. You ship ice, you transport ice from somewhere, from cold climates, you go down. You go down north, you go north, and you collect ice, and you transport the ice down south very quickly.
Do they do that.
They do that in order to make them, and you put the ice into the bar, and it melts, and you have 40 saw of water, you have a kosher mikvah. This is done. It's not so uncommon for it to be done. However, well, how do you transport the ice? So if you have ice, just you have to hold it in your hands, because once you put the ice in a box, or in a kli, it's no good. Now, so ice is not such a big deal. You have to get natural ice. So you got to go out to a very cold climate, like, you know, it's freezing, and you got to go chop out of a pond. They'll put you in jail. What are you doing over here? Chopping ice? What's going on? You go to the lake. Can you imagine? You go to Central Park. You go find one of them. You go chop ice. Okay. You go chop ice. You take chunks of ice. You go into the car. Get into a car. You have to make sure you don't put in a klee. And they drive. They drive. They put in a truck and they drive down. They drive down south. They drive down south to a very warm climate where there is no rain water, and they put it into the bar and melts, and you have a kosher mikvah. That's how it's done.
The truck is not a
klee. I don't know the details. You're right. It could be it's a problem. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. It could be. Is it called a klee? L'chor or not? But let's say so. Sometimes it's not so easy to get ice. It's much easier to get snow. Snow is a much easier technique. You have to study these mikvah storybooks. Go online, maybe type in mikvah stories. You'll find these. Snow is much easier to do. So, okay. So they. But however, how do you can't transport snow in your hands? What are you, how are you going to transport 40 saw on the bar? So you have plastic bags, and you have to have holes in the bags that are larger than the size of a pomegranate. The Gemara talks about kale. If you have a kli and the kli has holes, if you have a utensil and the utensil has large holes, is in the kabel tumah. The largest hole, which automatically removes the classification of a utensil, is if you have a hole that's the size of a pomegranate. So there's a maisha haya where they were doing this. They were transporting snow. Maisha, true story. They're transporting snow from a cold environment to south to a place where they needed a mikvah. They need to make a kosher mikvah for women, and they had to get off at a rest stop, and they parked at the rest stop and parked in front of this rest stop was what's called Harley Davidson. What's it called? The motorcycles. A whole clan with the tattoos. No, the whole works, the whole nine yards. And somehow they saw this Orthodox Yeshiva Shigai with his pace hanging out. They never saw a Jew altogether. They don't even know what a Jew is. They saw a Jew with white shirt, pace, and tzitzis. And like, I don't know, they came in contact with this group of people. Like, what in the world? And here they have snow. Okay, large bags, these heavy bags of snow. What in the world are you doing with bags of snow? So it was very awkward. I don't know all the details. And they started explaining to these big guys on their motorcycles. And they're looking like, you bunch of quacks. Okay, then after they explained, no, ritual bath, Israel, they gave them the Rosh Hashanah. But then this would really set them off. Then as they're, okay, but what about those, how come the bags, you know, maybe you should get some better garbage bags because the bags are all ripped. You couldn't find for yourself a garbage bag that's not ripped. This is bizarre enough. No, we can't transport it in utensils. It has to have a hole the size of a pomegranate. Once they said a hole the size of a pomegranate, that was it. They said, you people, you're off the wall. There's no way we can came from Mars. Okay, so it's not so different when you call in the guy to tell him we're giving you the kale and the matana, and we're going to borrow it back from you in order that we do not. But that's the halacha. By us, this is not a joke. This is serious business.
He says, I specialize in lights.
I specialize in lights
Friday night.
What do you mean?
No, the guy says, yeah. I don't do kalim.
Just lights, okay. Yishav Mayim. Okay, let's go further. V'im hu kli sharoi. Let's see.
Yeah. Why don't you give a
boy Jewish?
Colin Powell was a Shabbos.
Also, Lahat B'Kli B'Shabbos, the Yom Tov, Gore was also the Shabbos guy for Lieberman. Lieberman
in the Senate.
So Gore was the Shabbos guy. Every Shabbos he took care of him. Also, lahatil kli b'shabbes yamda v'im shach lahatil mikodim yidenel l'nochem matan v'yachsel yishan l'menu. Ayn to resolve sif kodim yitches v'im hu kli sheroy l'hovi b'mayim b'mokim shumut l'tal. That is another kunst you can do. Let's say this is a kli which you can use. You have you're in an area where there is a erif. There is an erif you can carry, and there is a well. So you can use this kli to transport water from one location to another. So then you can do a trick. You can use it, take the kli and use it to bring water for to your home. Water to wash the dishes, not to eat. Only not allowed to use the you'll use this utensil. You'll dip it in the well in order to retrieve some water to bring home for washing on Shabbos. But in the process of going to the well and dipping the utensil into the well to bring water, what have you done inadvertently? You were toivel the kli.
Can they say the bracha?
Oh, now you're not allowed to say the bracha. That's the question. So what do you do about the bracha? You're going to lose out on the bracha. You're going to lose out on the bracha. Well, you're doing it intentionally. I'm not doing it. Why are you not allowed to be tovel kelim on Shabbos? Because it's tikkun mone. It's you're fixing something. Just like you're not allowed to fix a utensil physically, you're not allowed to fix a utensil spiritually. If you have a utensil and it's broken, it's a malacha machim patish to fix a utensil. So as an outgrowth of that prohibition, you're not allowed to be toivel kelim on Shabbos. But if you don't do it outright, you do it in an indirect way. What would be an indirect way? You take the utensil to the well, you fill it up with water to transport water. So I'm only, to the onlooker, I'm just transporting water. I'm not trying to be toivel in the mikvah. But you, what have you accomplished? You have accomplished, you toivel the utensil in the well, in the well water. So that is a technique. One more time, the last words of the siman. The im hu kli sheroi lehavil b'yimayim b'makam shemutu l'taltav, it's a utensil which is fit to transport water in a place where there's no problem of carrying on Shabbos. Yishav b'yimayim, take the utensil to the well, draw water to bring home to clean your dishes or to use for the beis hakiseh. The yavi lebeso, and in this situation, look what you have done. You have ended up, the kli was immersed in a well on Shabbos, which is a kosher mikvah. The loy nichze kimatbil, it does not look like you would toivel the utensil in a mikvah, but in this situation, the lo yivorei cholof. Now, what about mitzvah Shabbos? What should you do? So here brings down from the beis halevi, the mitzvah Shabbos, yarpil shuv akelim shuv Shabbos, but in ze, as machlekes apoiskim, you should make a bracha. As machlekes apoiskim, what you should do mitzvah Shabbos. When you toivel it again, even though you toivel it on Shabbos in this clever way, you are still mechuyev to be toivel it a second time mitzvah Shabbos. But when you toivel it a second time mitzvah Shabbos, do you make a bracha? This is a machlekes apoiskim. Well, you definitely didn't make a bracha the first time because in Shabbos, what?
Why shouldn't you?
Because the bracha, you never made a bracha. Now is an opportunity to make a bracha.
No, but why shouldn't you?
Because you already were toivel it. It's too late.
So
all of our zman, bokel karbono.
So
it's too late.
You have to give it to the guy again.
No, that's a different case. We're talking about the jumping cases. Let's first focus on the second case.
Yeah. Not the guy and say,
okay, that's a different trial. Oh, wait, let's one case at a time. The second case. The second case is when you never gave it to the guy. The utensil is the property of the Jew, and it was never put in a mikvah, and you don't have a guy available to do the first technique. So what's the second technique? Take the utensil to a well and draw water and use the water in the beis hakiseh. But in the process of going to the well and immersing to clean the well, you have immersed the utensil in a mikvah. Now, when you do this, you're not allowed to make a bracha. Because if you make a bracha, it shows that your kavana is to be toivel the kli in the mikvah, which is forbidden on Shabbos. Now, mitzvah Shabbos, what do you do? So it says in the Mefarshim, you have to go and be toivel it again. Since the first time you only toivel it in an indirect way, it was not the ideal form of tefillah. It was only a tefillah that was done in a clever way so that you can use it on Shabbos, but it was not the ideal form of tefillah l'shem mitzvah tefillah. You have to be toivel it again mitzvah Shabbos. The big question that's not resolved is, should you make a bracha mitzvah Shabbos when you toivel it a second time? Do we say that since, technically speaking, when you toivel it on Shabbos in the clever way, it's already has tefillah, and therefore it's too late to make a bracha? Or do we say, since you never made a bracha, and the first tefillah was not really done in the proper way, it was only done as a temporary measure so you can use it on Shabbos, now when you do the second time it's on Shabbos, you must make a bracha? This is a question that is not resolved. Some do, some do not. Now the guy, you ask a very good question about the guy. So this is very interesting. This is what I saw this in another sefer. When you go, if you, let's say the first solution, you have the utensil and there was no tula, so you call the guy, here I'm giving this to you as a gift, it's your utensil, but I want to borrow it back. Okay, now, Shabbos is over. What do you do when Shabbos is over? So most of the time, you forget about the whole thing. You forget about it. like you're not going to go back to the guy and say, "I want to, give it back to you. I want to buy it back from you. Give it back to me." Yeah, the assumption is the guy gave it back to me. But the truth is, the guy never really gave it back to you. Technically, he never gave it back to you. Therefore, it's always the guy. But really, the guy did give it back to you because he's not being toiveya. He's being moichel. Yeah, you could have it. It's a trick. I know you're Jews. You're just very clever. You're doing all these funny things. The guy really is giving it back. So that's is he or is he not? So many poskim say that if the guy does not explicitly give it back to you, you should be toivel it, but without a bracha. Why no bracha? Because it really belongs to the guy. But you have to be toivel it because the guy is moichel it to you. He's giving it back to you. But if the guy if the guy really wanted it back, he would come and claim it back. The fact that he's silent and he lets you keep it shows he doesn't care. He's moichel it, giving it to you.
Once you give it to him,
you get kli on Shabbos.
Makir v'patish derayis is only physical transformation. It's only midrabanan. Midrabanan. So
because
it's Shabbos. It's mutter. Mitzvah of Shabbos. So that's halacha. If you go, you do this trick. You give it to a guy and mitzvah Shabbos. If mitzvah Shabbos, you call the guy back in and you formally make a kin. You take it back from the guy. The halacha is now you have acquired it from the guy and you bring it to the mikvah and you make a brach and you tell the mikvah. If you never go back to the guy and formally acquire it, even though we assume the guy gave it back to you b'matana, he's moichelit, he doesn't come to be toveya, since technically you never went through those motions, those actions, you still have to be toivelit when Shabbos is over, but you don't make a bracha. That is the halacha. Okay, now let's look at some of the shi'arim mitzvah b'halacha. Let's go back to the beginning of the simin. There's a lot of very interesting things here about Tfilas Kalim. Okay, it's back on page Reish Ches. Aleph. Page Reish Ches. Alekeach Kalim Yevigachav Ma'ayim Shal Teshuas Shai. The Kalim Shel Meshumot. What about if you buy a kli? This is a big halachic debate. You buy a kli from a Jew who is different types of Jews, irreligious. That's okay. You don't have to be tefila on the shumut, apostate. Mamish, he converted. He converted to Christianity or any other type of religion. The kelim shel meshumut mistavra the dinim the kelim shenikachem in hagoy utzrichim tefila sheyetsu mitumah letahara. So that's what he says. You have to be tefila kelim from a meshumut. You have to be tefila them as well. V'huva be. Whatever that is, the ayin b'shal shuvus aminezin nishal gamkein al davar advar hakoyne kelim min hamumar itzrichem tefila bein kelim shakonam hamumar min agoy and among the kelim shakonam hamumar min agoy v'lo b'tefilam imutu lishal kelim elu menu. Now here's another interesting shaila. What about borrowing kelim? You have a mumar and you buy kelim from a mumar. Among the kelim he has are kelim that are owned by a goy, ubein kelim shakonam hamumar min hagoy, v'loy hit bilam imutur lishol kelim elu mimenu miyamin de mumar dinay ke goy ve'akoyinim mimenu tzach tvila umemela hashoyal mimenu. So borrows from him who be dinashol min hagoy. What else if you borrow kelim from a mumar? Interesting shaila. You have a Jew who's an apostate, and you borrow. One thing, when you buy from him, okay, you have to be machmir, you have to assume that he's a guy. You have to assume that he's a guy. It's a chumrah. It's a chumrah. You assume that since he went off the derech, he converted to another religion, so we have to assume that he's like a guy, you have to be tov. But what about can we go so far to say that since he's a guy, if I borrow kelim from a mumar, I don't need to be tov? Or do we say, since Saif called Saif, there's a pintel yid in the mumar, so he's still called a Jew. Right, so can we go both ways? When we go to Chumrah and we say that you have to be Tevil Kelim, you borrow from the Mumar, do we also go so far to say that if you borrow Kelim from the Mumar, you do not need to be Tevil? Go both ways. You borrow from him ain't tzarch tefila. The kelim shekonim amumah min agoy and eschayvu b'tefila hashol mimenu. If you go and you shol from him, also l'shtamish b'chem b'loy tefila. If he has kelim which came from non-Jewish sources, so now he's a mummer and you borrow from him, maybe we consider that he's called a Jew. If he's called a Jew, mimela, it's going to be Also, because a Jew that owns kelim requires tefillah. The hella, what's the bottom one? How does he paskin? The hamumar yesh lechumre zeh vezeh. The avne nezer, avne sakachava. The sakachava rebbe, avne nezer, shem Shmuel, very holy rebbe, paskins, you have to go lechumre both ways. A mumar that sells you kelim have to be immersed. A mumar from which you borrow kelim from a mumar, you have to assume he's still called a Jew. He's still called a Jew. The kelim needs tefillah.
Jews, Reform, and conservatives.
No, conservatives. Man hazeh, ruba de ruba. It's tinek shel mishpa. They're not called a mummer. They're not a mummer.
No, so,
I don't understand.
So I guess there's no problem buying.
He's a mummer.
Yeah.
He's a convert to Christianity.
Right. There's no problem.
Does he still have this concept of a pinsulini?
That's the question. Well, you have, what is the purpose of tefillah? And Torah says utensils that have come from non-Jews require tefillah. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with his outlook on life, his religious beliefs.
So
it's a biological fact. Is he a Jew? A Jew is always Jew. It's impossible, according to halacha, to convert, to leave Judaism. Impossible. It's an impossible thing. Once you're a Jew, you always, like by goyim, it's such a thing that they can leave your religion. By a Jew, once you're born a Jew, there's no way out. You do tshuva. There's a halacha that if you're an apikoyres, so we treat dina. Your din is like a goy, but technically you're still called a Jew, and that's the issue over here when it comes to tefillas. Tefillas and that relates to a person's biological reality, is he a Jew or not, then we not require tefillah. Do we say no, that since a person behaves like a guy, his din is like a guy. A mummer has a din like a guy. So since his din is like a guy, that overflows to the law of tefillah, it does require tefillah. I heard recently a shir, or I see in Przanski, so he says that there's one group of Jews that are not accepted by anyone. Today, the Klal Yisrael is very diverse. Everyone, there are a lot of shades of gray. But there's one class of Jews that are not accepted in any religious, any Jewish organization. Now that is Jews for Jesus. They are not part of, no one accepts them. That's the halacha. Because that's manish, that's a mumar. And a mumar, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, dinoy kigoy.
He's still a pentuli.
No, they're Jews. As long as their mother is Jewish,
they're Jews.
No, we're talking about real Jews whose mothers are Jewish. However, in Shulchan Aruch, they're called the mumar. It's called dinoy kinochri. They're Jews, but their law is a law of a guy.
It's two different things. So there's no restriction on the business with a mumar.
No.
In Eastern Europe, if people left...
There's no restriction. Why is there restriction? There's no restriction to business. No, not that I'm aware of. There's no...
They weren't put in harem or anything like that?
If the dividing line is, are you a bad influence on other people? If a person becomes a mummer and he goes and he tries to convert other people, he tries to chap some people who don't know the difference, that's already a different category. But a person on his own free will decides he wants to become a joint. So that's something that's not none of your business. So let him do what he wants. Yeah.
Israeli, out of the depths, did you read that? Sorry.
No.
Rabbi Lau? Rabbi Lau wrote
his biography.
Very good. Out of the depths. So he's meeting with everyone, including the Pope. One person he was asked to meet with at an interreligious conference was Cardinal Lustiger.
Right, he was a Jew.
He was a Jew who after the war, when he was a teenager, he converted to Christianity and became a cardinal. And supposedly, he was even being considered for Pope at one time. In any event,
they never considered him because he was Jewish.
So he refused. So he refused. Well, that's why.
He was a
top cardinal. Yeah. So he refused to meet with him. However, he told the story. Supposedly true. This Cardinal Lustiger, twice a year, would go to a small shul in Paris, put on a yarmulke, and say Kaddish for his parents. You gotta read the book, is amazing.
Pope John Paul.
The mother is Jew?
Had a Jewish.
His parents were Jewish.
He was Jewish.
They done the Holocaust. He was put in a.
Maybe.
Pope John Paul had a Jewish. Had a Jewish girlfriend.
Girlfriend.
And what I've read is that, and he saw in his own eyes, they took her away to be killed. Pope John Paul had a Jewish girlfriend, and he probably would have married her if not for the war. And she was Jewish, and and he was so distraught when they came, the Germans came, they took her away. Well, at some point in time, whatever I don't know the exact history, that pushed him over the end to become a priest and made his way up, and eventually became the Pope. But had his Jewish girlfriend not been taken away, it could very well have been that he would have married her, and he would not have become a priest.
No kids.
You never know.
No kids.
That's why they say that to some degree he was sympathetic towards the Jews.
The kids is a Jew.
Pope John Paul, because he witnessed firsthand the horrors of the Holocaust.
In Yiddish they call this Erlich Goy. Because Erlich Goy is Sinus Yaakov.
There's another story with him.
Yeah, his story is
the next pope.
Given it, no, Pope John Paul II.
Yeah,
they were told
to give it back.
To give it back to the Jewish couple during the war.
Give it back to the
parents. Didn't return. And they came to him to baptize the baby. The kid was 5-6 years old now.
Right.
He refused.
Said to give it back.
Go back to his family, and he eventually ended up in America.
Right, Fran has a speech about this.
Going to America, he kept track of him and he communicated.
Really, I don't know that part.
They remain friends.
He was also a chassid Shlom Kabbalah singing. You know
that I didn't know.
John was very like Shlom Kabbalah's song.
He was very like the chassidim. So
This is all in the book?
Are you really? Okay, I gotta read it. All right, let's go for it. Let's finish up this halach. This halach over here. The el the mumer yesh lechumer ze veze. Fascinating halacha, and a mumer has the chumis of both. If you buy kalim from a mumer, the kalim require tzvila. If you borrow kalim from a mumer, they also require tzvila. We got to be machmir. Zev dina b'yishol di kadosh another nafgamina di kadosh pas yishol kiddushov kiddushin. If a mumer is mekadesh a yisraelis, it's a good kiddushin. You need a get. He has to give a kosher get. If a Jew, a shomer Torah mitzvahs, is bar, has relations with a mishumedes, a mumeres, a woman that is an apostate, so there's a concept in halacha called kanayim paygim. You can take law into your own hands. So we don't do this today, but technically speaking, if a Jew has relations, he's living with a non-Jew, a Jewish boy, a nice Jewish boy, is living with a shiksa, a non, technically according to the letter of the law, you can take the law into your own hands and you can go and you can kill him.
Nothing on it.
Obviously, you're not going to do that today. Obviously, don't.
Would it be the only Shas Maisa?
Right, there are many, many rules. Shas Maisa. So does this halacha apply? Let me give you an example. Let's say you have a Jew that's born a Nida. Or let's say you have a Jew that's born on an Ashes Ish. Is another Jew allowed to come along b'shas mice and kill him? Absolutely not. No. There's no din kanoim poigimbo. Kanoim poigimbo is only a yisrael haba on a non-Jew. Yes. There's no kanoim poigimbo if a yisrael is born an ashes ish or if he's born.
Exception to this.
What?
If someone is ma'agin, it's a mitzvah to kill.
Okay. Doesn't give a get. Right, because he was non-Jewish. Cosby. So here is the shayla. Let's say, so if a man is born an eshes ish, a nice Jewish woman, but she's a married woman, eshes ish, no, you don't want to touch him. Bezdin will deal with it. Give him a straw, you don't touch him. You don't take the law into your own hands. But if a Jew is born on a non-Jewish woman, oh, that's serious business. There's a halacha, kanoyim poigim bo. Technically, in the time of the Torah, you're allowed, you don't have to go to Bezdin, and you can take the law into your own hands. Let's say, there's a theoretical question, let's say the woman is Jewish, but she's a mumeres. She converted to another religion. Do we apply the rules that a Jew is allowed kanoim poigim bo? So he says,
Mumma
means to convert to a different religion.
No, doesn't believe in the Tariyak Mitzvot.
No,
No, he became a Christian.
You don't believe. You don't believe in Tayag Mitzvahs. You don't believe. You convert a different religion. Let's go further. So he says over here, so he says she has that din as well. With regard to that, we give a non-Jewish umumeris the din of Kanoim Pagimbo. They're considered to be Ginoi Kigoi, like a full-fledged Jew, and this halach is permitted. The technical speaking time of the Torah, one is allowed to take the law into his own hands. Klal Shel Dover. The rule is, rule of thumb, Darno So Lehachmir, Voloi Mitam Sveika, Ela Shehu Goy, Umachmas Maisov, the Yisrael Mitolodto, but he's still Jewish by birth. But he's still biologically considered a Jew. Therefore, since we have to go to Chumah, we have a person that is a Mumur or a Mumeres, we give you the Chumas of both. In our situation, when you are buying Kalim from a Mumur or you are borrowing Kalim from a Mumur, we have no choice but to go to Chumah. Because we say dinoi kigoy, v'hashoyel kelim imenu. If you borrow kelim from him, and these kelim have come, he himself has acquired these kelim from goyim. For who kona kelim migoy? Ein tzrichin tzvila. They do not require tzvila. The gam kishahoyu etzlo hakel moshaychi bohem tzvila. So then he says they do not require tzvila because we consider him to be. We consider him to be a Jew. I'm sorry. Ein tzrichem tzvila. Dinam kishahoyu etzlo. The gam kishahoyu etzlo. When the kalim were by him, lo shaychi bohem tzvila dehavi ketoyel v'sheretz biyad. In other words, since the guy acquired these kalim from. Wait. The gam kishahoyu etzlo akelim l'shaychi b'hem tefila d'havit b'toyim l'shaytos. It's passing over here in the halacha that you don't. If you borrow kelim from him, you do not need to b'toyim the kelim because it's like you're borrowing kelim from a guy. So I don't know why he's saying it's a chumrah. It's really a kula. In this situation, it's a kula. We treat a mumor dinoi kenachui l'chol davar. If you buy from him, you have to be toivel. If you borrow from him, you do not need to be toivel. Just like if you borrow kelim from a goy, you do not need to be toivel. If you borrow kelim from a mumar, you do not need to be toivel.
It looks like the mumar is worse than goy.
A mumar is worse than goy in some respects, yes. In some respects, because he knows better. Okay, we have to stop here. We'll finish up next time. There's more to do. We'll finish up next time. We'll take a short break.